Fan Warning Show, Sports at 5.9 The Fan. I'm JD Bunkus. Sam McKee with me today. Ailish back tomorrow from her Montreal trip. A guy that, I don't know if he's an F1 guy. I don't know if he has any F1 stock. This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Shai Davidi. It's a senior MLB columnist for sports. I know you like hockey, but do you deviate from any other, like, do you dabble in any other sports other than baseball and hockey?
I like basketball, too. I like all the Olympic sports. I covered some auto racing in a previous life, but I don't watch it on a consistent basis.
What auto racing did you cover?
A little bit of kart, a little bit of back in Toronto back in the day. So we're going back in time a little bit, but back in the Paul Tracy, Greg Moore kind of days, there was some copy produced on that.
Yeah, Paul Tracy did have a moment. There were like Paul Tracy takes. there were real Paul Tracy. Karting is amazing. Is like, yeah, kart is great because it's just like, you know, you had to cover the richest kids who ever lived and be like, hey, so what's it like for your daddy to buy you, like, beyond just your car at 16? They must have been a lot of really interesting personalities out there. A lot of real winners, a lot of real kids that I'm sure are doing things all on their own merit right now is what I would say about that circuit. Shai Davidi, senior MLB columnist for Sportsnet. Okay, so this is the real question here for today is, how active do you think the Blue Jays are trying to address the bullpen? Because they don't have enough arms, and everybody knows it. And like I said, it last month, they're 25th in bullpen ERA. They don't punch anybody out, and they win that game, but it's because you pointed out they use Jordan Romano for more than one inning, which hasn't happened in a really long time. And I'm guessing that internally the Nate Pearson thing isn't going to be happening right now, seeing as they just had to pull him from two pitches. Precautionary, maybe there's something on that. But yeah, how aggressive do you think these guys are being, like, today on June 20th?
Well, I think the market is still early, right? These are still, you don't usually see deals. And this isn't as desperate as it was last year when, you know, they were able to get Adam Simber and Trevor Richards in deals that, you know, at that point in time, they absolutely had to make because you had, you know, Joel Piams and Travis Bergen and Anthony Castro in leverage. You know, nobody wants that. So, you know, the situation isn't quite as dire as it was last year. And you know, you have to remember, too, that, you know, they just came off a series against the Yankees. And, you know, I mean, they've lost 17 times this year. You know, they're playing unreal baseball. So I don't think that we should overemphasize that sample. But it's clear that this is an area that they know they need to address, that they intend to address before the deadline one way or the other. But it's, again, like, you know, teams are still by and large in the, you know, assessment and planning stages of the deadline. And, you know, not a lot of people, unless you're going to massively overpay, are motivated to move the kind of arm that you're going to want to get.
The only thing is that I thought that's kind of what we had heard last year was that, hey, the Jays, I guess maybe you could argue that they did massively overpay in the Richards trade, right? Because they ended up sending Rowdy Tellez out, and he's been pretty quality for them. If you're talking about lefty bats with some thump, which Toronto might need, maybe they did overpay. But yeah, I guess I do view it maybe as a little bit more desperate, considering that, yeah, right now, if you look at where they rank, again, over the last month in bullpen ERA, and I know that's not a perfect stat, but you look at bullpen war, whatever you really want to break it down as, strikeouts, K per nine, walk per nine, like all of it, they're bookended by, I think, Arizona and Kansas City. Like, those aren't really two teams that I would expect the Blue Jays to be there with. You look at their schedule coming up here. They've got this week where it's kind of friendly, where they have the non-divisional games. But, yeah, heading into that one against the Red Sox, like, do you think that there's actually something that they could do within the next week? Like, how do you think that they perceive these division games coming up? Because they're starting to feel really, really important with the Yankees out of reach.
Well, I don't know that it's still June, right? Let's kind of rein it in a little bit. You know, obviously the divisional games are important, and you never want to underemphasize that. But I don't think you're going into those games thinking we've got to make a move to get ready for them beforehand, because that's going to make a bad deal. Like, if there's an opportunity, I think they'll certainly take it and would love to under those circumstances. But, they're not falling apart. I think part of the reasons that their ERA is bloated is because they've gotten some shorter starts. They haven't had the same depth with, losing Ryu and Kikuchi going through some things. And, all of a sudden, Trent Thornton and, Trevor Richards are pitching more innings than you'd like. Casey Lawrence is here. Max Castillo is up. You're cycling through sort of the for lack of a better way to put it, the mop-up type of guys, and they're getting more innings than you'd like, and that's going to sort of inflate your numbers. But, yeah, I mean, it's concerning that, Tim Mayes has gone through a bit of a blip. Trevor Richards, you were using him in leverage spots earlier this season. That's not the case anymore. Adam Simber had a hiccup. All those things aren't great. But again, they're not going to run away from certain guys. And I get the overall point of what you're saying. And I just think that, going into a couple of June series against a divisional opponent isn't the time to make a panic deal and overpay for a reliever.
So I think we would agree, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. It feels like the Jays catching the Yankees is going to be in pretty unbelievably tough proposition at this point. I wonder if you think that not having a real opportunity to win the division, and again, I know it's June, but that's just the way that it feels right now, will impact the level of aggression that this team does have in the trade market over the next month.
I don't think that is going to, impact their planning. I think really, Ben and I are working on a piece that's going to go up on this, I think today or tomorrow, about kind of looking at the Blue Jays and their approach to the trade deadline. And you've got multiple different approaches that you can take. Okay, so you obviously you need a reliever. You need to help the bullpen. That's pretty clear. But then you look at it, it's like, well, do you need another starter, or can you ride with what you have, or do you just need a depth arm, or do you need real impact there? What are you doing on the position player front? If Espinal is going to continue to perform the way he does, that certainly changes some of the thinking there. And if Kevin Biggio continues to be a factor and productive, that certainly changes the thinking there. So, I think between now and the deadline, the approach is going to be more dictated by what the Blue Jays need on their roster, both to survive the regular season and maybe to optimize for the postseason a little too. I think the Yankees, just because the division's, I don't think the Blue Jays are ready to surrender the division by any stretch. They're 11 games out, but the Blue Jays, the Yankees have lost 17 times. The Blue Jays are responsible for a quarter of those. So, they've played them better than the record would suggest. This weekend aside, I think the other games in the previous series were all pretty close and pretty tight. If the Blue Jays kind of really find the next gear that they can and have certainly have shown the potential to have, maybe they've got a chance to make it interesting if the Yankees hit some health blips, which is, not out of the realm considering the personnel they have.
So, Shaw, I want to ask you about Kikuchi, who had another, shaky start yesterday. And I'm kind of fascinated by this guy because his flashes of brilliance are pretty brilliant. When he's dotting that heater, he can look really, really good, but there seems to be this hesitance to throw it. And I'm not sure if the organization, are they still sure that they can get through to this guy? They gave him the 3-year deal, obviously, so they're sure they can sort of transform him. But it really does seem that he has a hesitance to throw his best pitch at the biggest time. How confident are you that they can kind of get through to him with this?
Well, it's an ongoing project, right? And you have to kind of keep in mind, too, that the Blue Jays didn't have an off season to work with him, right? And that's typically what happens with these quote-unquote renovation type of guys, that you have the sort of the winter and you talk things over and, dude works on it on the side and comes into spring training trying to lock down what he's done. Where with Kikuchi, because of the lockout and when he signed, he came in And, you know, they're sort of trying to do this on the fly, which isn't always the easiest or smoothest way to institute some changes. You know, in regards to the fastball, I mean, I hear you. I know that this has become a pretty big talking point. You know, yesterday after the game, he felt that he wasn't commanding his fastball as effectively as he would like. And he really liked his slider yesterday. He'd made some changes to the slider in the shape and the velocity of it. And he feels that that's the slider he wants to ride with going forward. And I think if he had felt that he had better command of the fastball, and you saw, you know, that he hit Josh Donaldson, he nearly hit Aaron Hicks a couple times, he yanked a few others too. You know, if he was able to put it where he wanted, he probably would have used it more often because it was a good pitch for him. So, you know, I just think there's a lot going on there that, you know, to extrapolate what it's going to be, you know, for the rest of the season or, you know, the next 2 years, it's too early for that. But he's clearly seemed open to everything that the Blue Jays have presented to him. And he's already made quite substantial changes from the pitcher he was last year to what he's doing right now.
So do you have anything new on Nate Pearson? Because, yeah, last time we spoke, we had mentioned that the longer it takes him to get to the big leagues, the harder it is to project what he can do to help this ball club. But, yeah, he exits yesterday after only throwing two pitches for precautionary reasons, says that they're going to be reevaluating him later. But what's your understanding of what's happening here?
Yeah, I don't have too much more beyond that. Obviously, you know, he was already on rehab. And, you know, the fact that he's got this time, it's something to do with his arm is for the Blue Jays pretty troubling, right? And for Nate Pearson, you know, you just think about all the different things that this guy has been through. And he just, you know, started to show signs of perhaps turning the corner of Buffalo. And, you know, the velocity was starting to creep up, starting to hear people talking about him in, you know, more excited terms than they had in a while. And then there's a physical setback, which, you know, in a lot of ways is reflective of, you know, his past 3 or 4 years where, you know, whenever he starts building some momentum, you know, something, so there's some sort of physical breakdown that keeps him from maintaining it. So, you know, it's pretty troubling for the Blue Jays. I don't want to say that he was someone that they were counting on because, you know, that wasn't the case anymore, but he was someone that they felt had a chance to be a contributor under the right circumstances. And, you know, you feel for him because there's just so much talent there. He's put in so much work and he's just not able to leverage it. His body keeps betraying him.
Oof. Yeah. I hate how I still get optimistic about it. Like I still do the thing where I'm like, I pay attention to his minor league numbers. I pay attention to his deployment. And then, yeah, you see a story like yesterday and you just remember like, there's just, it's getting really, really hard to believe even for somebody like me. Shai Davidi, senior MLB columnist for Sportsnet. Again, he's got a piece coming up later today that I'm sure a ton of people are going to read because everybody loves trade talk with the Toronto Blue Jays. He and Ben Nicholson-Smith. So check out sportsnet.ca or Shai Davidi's Twitter account for that later. Shai, thanks for making time this morning, man.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Have a great week.
See you, pal. This Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Yeah, I think that it's a little bit more urgent for them getting a bullpen arm. So, I don't know how they're not going to wear these dudes down. That's the other part of this, right, is that if you – We already went through this with the Jays, where they were in all these tight ball games, and they were worried about what was going on with the pen, and people thought Romano had already worn down. And you just see how important that guy is. Shai's right in that. It's not like last year where they just could not get outs at the end of the game, because they have Romano this time around. But we've kind of seen Jimmy Garcia in higher leverage, and it's mixed results. I wouldn't say he's a dominant reliever. I think he's good, especially in the context of this team. And we see Adam Simber have moments, but he's a contact guy, and you can see the downside of that with your bullpen. They don't have swing and miss, and that's not like a sample thing. That's not like a month of this or... And like to Shai's even point of, hey, well, they've had to rely on too many bad arms. It's like, yeah, That's what we're saying here, is that they got too many bad arms and they've got to add some other dudes. No one ever wants to make the trade where it's desperate and you're over a barrel and you have to massively overpay. But that's what we heard all last year was, well, you can't make a trade. You can't make a trade because you'll overpay, you'll overpay, you'll overpay. And was like, what'd they give up for Simber? I don't remember.
So,
like,
listen,
did anyone have a problem with Rowdy at the time going up the door? No, it was like a one for one. It just, I don't know. I guess for relief pitching, I don't see the precedent of guys making horrific trades for relief pitchers that the Blue Jays need, which is just, again, bodies that can give you something, can give you competent innings. Because you're just not getting that from Trevor Richards, who hit the IL. You're not getting that, I don't think, from Trent Thornton whenever you need him to. And there's two pitchers right now that you can't rely upon going past four or five innings in Kikuchi and Stripling.
So I looked back. When do you think they made the Simber trade last year? What date?
Right. Any around idea? Now.
Yeah, it was June 29th last year that they made the Simber trade. So we're heading in the direction time now.
A
week from now. And what do they have coming up here? A big series a week from now. It has to be soon.
I get it, too, because
it has to be soon.
The baseball, it is a long season, and you have to measure that, and you have to be smart. And normally, you don't have to overreact to schedule. It's June. Shai is right, man. But when you're a team that missed the playoffs by a game last year, and you have the Red Sox coming up, and you have the Rays coming up, and these games, I don't know. I think that they do matter more this year, that you can't miss again by a game. You can't miss again by a game and have it be that you face the Red Sox and you blow some leads because of a bad bullpen. Or if Ross Stripling gets chased earlier, you got to cobble together a game where you can't keep the Red Sox under 8-9 runs because you just don't have bullpen arms for it. Like, I don't think that you have that luxury this season to lose or to miss out because you didn't have arms. So to me, it is a little bit more desperate, right? Like, it is.
They got Dickerson and Adam Simber for Joe Panic and Andrew McInvale.
Exactly.
Who was a minor league righty. So,
exactly.
Like, these guys, these teams that you can sort of circle, the crappy teams that have one good guy, you don't have to blow their doors off. You just have to give them a fair offer. That was an unbelievable trade by Ross Atkins. Like, that's a ridiculously good trade. I don't think you're going to get that trade again, but I really do think that you can sort of find these teams that have a decent guy in the bullpen. The Orioles seem to have four guys that I'd like on the Jays. That Tate that they have, it's like, can they trade for him? I love him.
I don't think they're moving.
They'd never do it in division. I understand that. But it's just, what my point is, it's that you don't have to trade your best prospect to get a capable guy. You can you can find arms for low prices, and now is the time to do it.
This is always hard because you're doing, well, people go, well, who's available? And I go, I don't know who the good relief pitcher is on the Kansas City Royals or the guy that they think they can take.
Had you ever heard of Adam Simber?
No. Yes, I actually had. But it was different because, again, he was a submarine pitcher too. So it's like he stuck out more. He had played on some decent teams. He was with Cleveland. Anyway, I had heard of him. But there's probably guys out there I tweeted about this yesterday, and I had some people write into my mentions about who they want to go get, and not a single one of those names that I know. I didn't know a single one of those names. But there are teams right now, like the Cubs, who don't care about winning baseball games. In fact, they're just down to – I think they're straight up tanking already. There's teams that are tanking. I look at that Detroit team. I don't know what their plan is because it seems like they really want to win and they want to take that next step, and this year's a disappointment, but they've got a bajillion actual bullpen arms. It's the one thing about their baseball team that's good. If I'm the Jays, and this is what I wanted to know, is like how aggressive they are right now, because they got to set the market again. The Red Sox have a bad bullpen too. Like, they don't have a closer. Their thing is that they need to go out and actually address that with a serious name that is going to cost you big-time prospect capital that probably comes at the deadline. But to me, it's the Blue Jays are going to have to make a couple of trades. One now and probably one later. That you're not using up all your bullets to try to address the bullpen today. That you want this to be a process. But just that part of the process has to start earlier than later. That you do not have the luxury, if you want to hang around in this division with these teams and this bullpen. Nate Pearson's not coming. That has to change the plan. You lost Ryu. That changes who your long man is. Trent Thornton, Lord love him. Lord love my stock. Not sure that's a guy that you want in a spot filling in for Kikuchi, having to leave early, or Ross Stripling. They don't have another guy that has to come in. There were some innings yesterday where they trotted out a rookie who had never pitched before, and he gave up a couple of bombs right away. That game was a miracle that the Jays came back and won, and it required a grand slam off of a good bullpen and a three-run shot from Teo. Like, it took four big home runs in that game. So, yeah, forgive me if I'm not over the moon about the way that they won that or the state of the bullpen. Like, I just think that they're going to have to do something fairly soon here. I don't want to see those arms against, again, the heart of the order for the Boston Red Sox. When Devers steps up to the dish, who do you feel good about other than Romano in this bullpen? Because that's it. There's not one other guy.
Certainly not Meza after what what Rizzo did to him yesterday. I bet you didn't expect this parallel this morning, but Jimmy Garcia is like a FNUF right now. He's okay. A guy that's capable, but he's just in too high a leverage spots. Like, he's being, he's miscast right now. And he goes out there and he can look good at certain times, but other times he goes out there and he gets knocked around, you get pissed off, and it's like, well, he's probably not a seventh, eighth inning guy. He's probably more of a sixth inning guy. He's probably a little lower leverage, and they paid him like he is a high leverage guy. But seeing him this year, he's a little bit miscast. He has
his moments,
but he's just a little inconsistent. Pardon?
Who comes in if you need a strikeout other than Romano?
Romano. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's no other guy. There's no other guy that you go, oh, okay, well, you want – there's runners on second and third, one out.
What's Jimmy's heater, 93?
Yeah, you need runners on second and third, and there's one out. Who comes in to punch somebody out? Who do you think is going to get it? Like, I know Simber is the guy where you need the double play. You got a runner on first and third. He's that guy. What about second and third, seventh inning – you need a strikeout. They don't have that guy. They're going to need that guy. Maybe that one comes later, but they just need another dude right now. They need a little bit of
leg. It's not Max Castillo?
No, it's not. Well, maybe it is. I'm not writing a guy off because he had one blip of a bad start against the New York freaking Yankees, but yeah, it's a tough
spot. That was a bit of a tough spot for Charles to put him in.
Yeah, that was tough. That was not an easy one. That was no layup position for you to have your first spot. But that's the job, man, and that's the division. And so, I don't know. Just seems like something that you would want to do.
Can we get a balanced schedule, please?
Well, like, we are next year. 14 games only against the division versus
still,
19 this year.
Like, less. Even less.
Less, okay.
Less.
I don't know. It's baseball. What do you want to do?
It's baseball for the Jays. It's baseball for us.
This is the ultimate crybaby take. The Jays get to play in the relevant division with the relevant
Well, they play in the hardest division in all of sports all the
and
time.
Guess what? Like, when they win, it means more. They're not in the Central with the
Get me in the Central
slugs.
All day long. Let's trade.
Yeah, okay.
Cleveland, have a year in the AL East. See how it feels.
Yeah, what a take. We already know that it's not happening because it's 14 next year, so it already is lessening. But yeah, this
off.
Is the ultimate Blue Jays crybaby take.
Yeah,
whenever
I
they
have
lose.
A Blue Jays crybaby.
Hard.
Pisses me off.
It's too hard.
It's like, oh, and the crappy team.
Buddy,
is
you
good.
Know, look at you go.
The Orioles, hey. Like all their guys own the Jays and they have a good bullpen. Great.
Hey. Yeah, look at you go. Leafs would have won the Cup if they didn't have to play Lightning, and the Jays would be good if they didn't have to play the Yankees.
I'm not that guy.
You're just a different sport.
I'm not hypothetical.
You just did it. Yeah, but you're hypothetical Blue Jays win the division guy, apparently. So you'll stretch it for the Jays.
No, that's why I want to break. That's why I want to change it, because they'll never win the division.
Yeah. We got a break. Will we win our Wake and Rake? That's next. Wake and Rake, Blake Murphy, Sam McKee, J.D. Bunkus. Next on the Fan Morning Show.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
I'm J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Sam McKee filling in for Ailish today. And it's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Blake Murphy has joined us. What's up, Blakey?
Hey, guys.
How are we doing?
Poor Sam. It's his second day on the show. He looks a little sleepy.
Actually.
He's forgetting the mute. He's going through all the whole checklist of morning show adjustments here.
I'm actually, I mean, the wake up is horrific. But yeah. I actually like am surprised how able I was to formulate thoughts at yeah. 6 a.m.
And you said you hurt your shoulder from carrying JD for 2 shows?
Oh, no.
Is that what you said during the break?
It's the opposite. I pinched a nerve with just sitting here. I'm getting old, boys. Yeah.
Well, no, getting old. See, this show wasn't that hard for Sam in terms of getting up, Blake, because he's a golf guy. He's used to waking up early and hitting the links. He's just like – he's a morning guy. He hit me with a text yesterday, no joke. It was like – I want to say not – it was 8:45, and he goes – hey, bud, I'm wiped out. I'm going to bed. Let me know what's up with the show. I go, can you just stay up for a little while longer and hash out? And I made him stay up for another 30 minutes and just such. He's like, I'm beat. That's what he said. It's 8:40. I looked at my phone, 8:40. This guy was trying to go to bed. Yeah, I know. That's okay, very clear. So if I say 8:40.
I had a question for you guys. And yeah, what's up? I'm not in the planning doc anymore, but I do look at it to see – who your guests are and stuff like that. See if there's anything I can steal for JSTOC Plus. What's the 2 shows in a row? You're writing entirely in all caps. Is that just your frustration with Sam at this point?
No, that's me.
Sam. That's me in caps, like a lunatic.
This is so inside baseball, but this is my 680 News upbringing. I started at 680 News, and all their system, you always write in caps, and I would be typing stuff in caps, so now I just type in caps all the time.
Blake, one of my favorite things to do is when I see him write down in caps, I picture him saying the takes to me like he's just yelling them always, where he'll be like, Josh Manson is underrated. They should have got Josh Manson. That's all of his takes.
It is a psycho move.
I'm looking today, and man, no one's ever been as excited about first 5-unders as it looks in Sam's prep talk.
Yeah. Hey, I will tell you this. I have had people, I don't know what it is about gambling Twitter, or maybe it's just my accounts, but so many people reach out to me in the DMs about gambling, and I go, just tweet it at me. Just tweet it off one of the tweets I post about gambling. Reply to one of these things with your bets. I don't know why it always has to be like an off to the side conversation. Like, guys, gambling in Ontario is legal now. We're doing a segment sponsored by Unibet, Crazy About the Odds, because you can do this legally now. Like, we don't have to be in the underground, in the tunnels. Like,
it's more fun to do it like that, though.
I guess, but people make such outlandish requests to me, too. Like, I saw this guy. Sometimes I'll get people go, JD, I got to make 8 picks this weekend. I need you to make 8 picks for me. I'm going,
oh, my 8 picks?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. I get people that all the time go, I got this whole slate. They'll do that to me with their NFL schedule too. They're like, I'm in a bar pool, JD. Go through and give me all your 10 best picks. I'm going, what kind of a life do you think that I lead in terms of me just sitting down there and breaking down your office pools on my weekend? But I will say first fives are red hot in the DMs. People are sending me tons of slips saying that I turned on the first fives, and guess what? I got another one today. I'm going first 5-under, obviously. But let's start. You guys want to start with Jays? We have to start with Jays. They're -127 favorites today against Lance Lynn, +108. Barrios on the bump. The total's 9. It's really high. It's a high total. Not a lot of faith.
Fishy.
No, well, it's a little fishy. That White Sox bullpen has been shaky. They're just a pretty mediocre team. There's obviously a ton of bats in this series. Jays have been hot. Blake, how are you feeling about this line? Because I will say that this was this kind of caught me a little off guard that the Jays were only slight favorites, and also that the total was 9.
Yeah, the total stood out to me more than the Jays being slight favorites. The Jays, you know, the bullpen's been heavily taxed, where they're calling a new guy up every day. You're going out on the road. You haven't had a day off in a while. I understand that side of it. But the total at 9, it's got to be a vote of no confidence in Lance Lynn and the White Sox bullpen. Lance Lynn only went 4 1/3. In his first start of the season, he hadn't gotten out of the fifth in any of his rehab starts. He was not happy with the hook, as we saw from his screaming match in the dugout after that one.
That was wild. And he sucked, too. He sucked and then he screamed. It's the worst combo. You can't suck and scream, boys. Like, you can only do one or the other.
But, yeah, 3 runs and 10 hits over those 4 1/3. And he got a little lucky to get out of there with only 3 earned. So that's probably the thinking there. On the Jays side, though, it's a bit of a curious one to see it that high, because Barrios has been much better of late. Mm-hmm. Barrios has faced this White Sox team 199 plate appearances. That is the highest pitcher versus lineup total of plate appearances I think I've seen this year. and he's been really, really good against them. The White Sox also, as much as they have a lot of bats and have started to heat up, 87 WRC plus against right-handed pitching, 13% below league average when it's just against righties. So I don't know. Something's up here.
Yeah. I hate a fishy line like this, but I will say, to me, this actually feels like you bet the Jays. Little concerned about the whole you used Romano for over one inning thing. I'm guessing that they don't have him do that unprecedented pitch count.
And first then, time all year.
Yeah, so I mean, I bet you they don't let him pitch today, and so that's factoring into this. But I will say that, yeah, I just Lance Lynn didn't look very good in his debut. It's still Lance Lynn, so eventually I'm guessing he'll settle in. But White Sox are an underwhelming baseball team. La Russa has been a nightmare this year in terms of being like, if there's one guy who's been the quote-unquote bad manager, he's that guy. he's the if they just had any other manager, what would the record be? Better. Like, they would hey, guess what, people who go for cheering for the charts, they're going to use this La Russa season as their all-time, well, this is why you just go to the charts, so that you take out this dude from the mix, because he's a wild card. He does crazy things. He's got a couple of guys, like, you know me, I'm on gambling Twitter, I follow baseball pretty closely. He's got some dudes in this bullpen that he uses in just, like, the craziest situations that have, like, ERAs over 6, and he uses them as leverage guys and doesn't use guys with better numbers. He's the man right now. So I don't know. I just think that this kind of balances out, and I like the Jays here tonight.
I am glad you mentioned the Romano thing, because that is probably a part of this. Romano threw 28 pitches yesterday. Jimmy Garcia threw 18. Simber threw 26. And Mazes pitched back-to-back days. So the bullpen, this is, if you're confident in the Jays in this one, this is probably a spot you look to lean first five or seven inning line or something like that, because it could be David Phelps, Trent Thornton as your leverage guys in this one.
David Phelps.
I'm just looking at that park in Chicago. That place is a bandbox. Guys,
I'll be there Saturday. I love that park.
Yeah, I've been. Awesome. I went through a series there. I think in 2016, and R.A. Dickey pitched, and they hit 7 solo home runs off R.A. Dickey. It was a crazy day. Anyways, I like, maybe I'm looking at the longer odds here on batting home runs, but you can hit, if you get a player to hit 2 or more home runs in this park, and it's a very, very favorable home run park, Springer's plus 3,000 to hit 2 home runs. I don't know. I just like those longer shot odds for a single game bet. There's lots of homers in that park. It'd be something that could be fun.
What I don't like about this game is that Blake mentioned that large sample size, but yeah, 92 plate appearances or ABs between Abreu and Moncada against Berríos, and both guys are hitting over 300.
And everyone else on that team has been bad.
Because the overall numbers are pretty solid. Yeah, but the overall numbers are pretty solid, but those are the two most important guys in their lineup.
Yeah.
Other than McKee and I are huge Andrew Vaughn guys because of that series he had against the Blue Jays where he was impossible to get out. He was just battling, and we were joking around about Babe Ruth in his prime versus Andrew Vaughn versus the Jays. So Andrew Vaughn's 7 plate appearances that he had against Berríos from his past, they don't count. The new Andrew Vaughn is a completely different animal than the one that we're seeing right now. So I'll take the 20 ABs of Adam Engel, the only hitting 200 against him. But yeah, Jake Berger is in the middle of their lineup, and he's only had 2 ABs against them. Like, yeah, there's at least there's some belief here that Berríos might not, like, for a night where you need to get 7, maybe 8 from Berríos, that knowing he has struggled against the two best hitters in the White Sox lineup has to matter at least a little bit here. Like, it has to matter a little bit here. So maybe I'm not as bullish about the Blue Jays on the money line tonight. Maybe it is more of a first five thing. Maybe it actually is the over. Like, maybe tonight is actually a game
talked ourselves into it here.
Yeah, I think that maybe this is an overnight. Bandbox ballpark, two really good sluggers.
Down to 8.5.
Yeah, 2 really good sluggers that have mashed against Berríos. Lance Lynn, who struggled. And you know that the White Sox bullpen sucks. And the Blue Jays are going to be throwing, they're going to ask Trevor Richards to come out of there with his next training. Like, hey, we need, like, who's pitching tonight out of the Jays' pen if Berríos gets shelled early? honest to God, who is pitching for them?
Honestly, it's going to be whoever they call up when they send Max Castillo.
What are those guys' names? Like Matt something and Matt Gage?
Matt Gage is in there. So Phelps, Gage, and Thornton are the three guys who are rested.
They don't need to make a trade.
What about Casey Lawrence?
It's not desperate.
Is he around?
No, it's not desperate for the Jays. They're just about to play a game where they need to have Matt Gage, Trent Thornton, and David Phelps. But no, it's definitely not desperate. They don't need to make a trade.
They're almost certainly going to send Platymax down and call someone else back up. Whether that's – I don't know what the Bison's rotation has been like lately, but like Thomas Hatch would be the next guy up. But if he started on the weekend, then you probably don't do that. Yeah. Nate Pearson's injured now too.
Yeah. Honestly, Nate Pearson is dead to me now. And I don't mean dead to me in terms of I'm mad at him. I just mean there's no more when Nate Pearson comes, he can help the bullpen.
No more leaning on
maybe
him.
Nate Pearson. Yeah, yeah. It's just, this is going to be my reaction if Nate Pearson happens now. Oh, Nate Pearson. That's how it should be. There's going to be build to it, but instead it should be like Max yesterday where he shows up and Hazel takes a picture of him and goes, oh, he's here. There's no hype. And then he shows up. By the way, that guy's mechanics I don't like.
I had Keith Law on Jays Talk Plus last week to ask about Castillo and like why was there no buzz? Why was he not on any prospect list?
Because
he's not a guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
hey, why is there no buzz again about the guy that stepped in versus the bottom of the Yankees lineup and just gave up absolute just those things were slapped. Honestly, did we check on the health of the people in the outfield that caught those baseballs? Because I feel like you missed that one. It hits you in the rib cage and you can't laugh for like 2 months because it's just multiple fractures. You're toast.
You want to hear two really gross names down at Buffalo that could potentially get the call because Thomas Hatch started on Friday and probably is arrested.
I like pain.
Joe Biagini's down there, stretched out. And Derek Holland, old Texas Rangers friend Derek Holland, is down there and has been working multiple innings.
Oh, my God. That is 10 times worse than I ever would have imagined. I did not see that coming.
Tune in to Jays Talk Plus later for more of this awful, awful look at the Buffalo Bison's pitching staff.
Can never have Joe Biagini back here, not because I don't even care if he pitches well. I can't do another cycle of Joe Biagini interview stuff.
Agree.
No.
Please, no.
I can't have another. This guy's so interesting because no. No. I'm Michael Scott. Dude, please, God, no. No more Joe Biagini media content. For the love of God. Watch him be on this show in 2 weeks. I'm like, Joe, what's going on? How are we doing? Tell me about the cats.
We were talking about you 2 weeks ago and hoping you got called up.
Yeah. Oh, so Joe, you like cats and your teammates, they had to worry about your teammates bullying you in the past, huh? Like, okay, well, that's good. All right, let's keep it moving. Let's move to the hockey game quickly here. So tonight, Avalanche -113. Bolts -108. Total six, which is like, it's six. They're just saying who we don't know. We have no idea. We'll put it at six flat. How are we not betting Colorado after the first two games? Like, do you guys believe in the Tampa Bay championship pedigree, home ice matchup, Cirelli? I don't know. I'm having a tough time believing after the first two. I don't want to bail on my Lightning pick this early. They just got smoked so badly. I don't know how you could be at that number. I don't know how you could be making the Tampa bet.
Yeah, they broke me on Saturday. On Friday, I gave my unbelievable best bet of Lightning in the under, which is just so close to hitting. But they absolutely broke me there. I would not bet another dollar on the Lightning. I really think this has sweep potential. After
Sammy,
seeing
I gotta say, your bet was so bad that now I'm like, and I'm locking in the Lightning.
Fade Sam.
Well, it was like 7-0. The Lightning in the under is to lose 7-0 to Colorado. It's just so bad that I honestly, I really am now. I'm kind of more on Tampa. But now, Blake, how you feel about it?
Yeah, I don't have a strong feel. Like, obviously, the way the series has gone so far, I lean Lightning in this one. Hmm. Or, sorry, Avs in this one, rather. The Lightning, I don't know. You give them a little bit of credit, but also they've looked just so overmatched. And we talked about the potential cumulative fatigue in the first round series against the Leafs, and now you're in the third straight fourth round, and this is a Habs team that doesn't look fatigued even a little bit. I don't know. It's hard. This is certainly one where you could have some confidence in the Lightning given the track record and them being a slight dog at home. Maybe you see value there, but I'm going to need to see it before I bet it.
Did you guys see Corey Perry? Like, just he puts his knee on, I can't remember who it was, calf, as he's trying to get up in front of the net. That, like, that's the adjustment they need to make, is hurt the Avalanche players.
Yeah, we gotta
be way like, what's the Cooper adjustment? Hurt Nikushkin. Like, don't let him play. You gotta do some slap shot stuff, I think, to win the series. It's just, it's not about that you lost, it's about how you lost. And Victor Hedman looking like that through two games, watching Vasilevsky get humanized in that way where it's just bombardment, right? That was what was crazy, is it was their backs against the wall. They needed to come out and get an early lead and just quiet that Avalanche crowd. And it, like, not to overpun this, but yeah, they got buried under the Avalanche. Like, they just, it was a momentum, like, early on, just bang, it was everything. Yeah, you can give me all the thumbs down.
I liked it.
But it was that way. It really was just, holy crap, I can't believe they're coming out and thumping these guys like this when they know the stakes and they're champions. It's just, I don't know. It seems like that's pretty real. Although, this is it for Tampa. Like, this is your
minus Stanley 113
Cup,
so. Is not a bad number for that Avalanche team. Like, that is, like, the way they look, the way they're playing, like, if you just want to bet them outright on the money line, that's not a ton of juice for a team that looks unbelievable at the moment.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to bet this game. This is your
because
classic. I just want to watch it. I don't want to have any stake in the game here. I don't want to have any type of number. I haven't throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs so far. I put a pre-series bet on Stamkos to win Conn Smythe. Whoops. I wish I had Nikushkin. But yeah, I just want to watch this one. This is how I felt about the NBA. I would bet first basket score and nothing else. Like, I was just, that was
Uncut
it.
Gems bet.
Yeah. Oh, I love me a bet like that. Anyways,
tip off. First basket.
Yeah, for tip off. Tip off is actually electric. It should be something that I don't ever see tip off anywhere. I think you got to have like a real bookie for that. Okay. So I've looked for it. Trust me. And I think about it because first basket, you always think, okay, well, you're going to get the first field goal attempt if you have the guy that wins the tip. It's the thing. Okay. So moving on. Best bets today. Sammy, you can go first. You're in the honorary A-list or A-list spot.
Okay. Been loving Jose Barrios recently. Been hot recently. Been striking out a lot of guys. Give me the over on Jose Barrios strikeouts at 5.5 at plus 112.
Okay, I like that. I actually like that. I like that a lot. That's a decent Blue Jays bet.
Blake? Yeah, 25% strikeout rate against the White Sox guys that he's faced before. And again, that's almost a 200 plate appearance sample. So even if there's some Moncada and Abreu fear there, that's a lot of strikeouts.
They make up half of that, though.
but the strikeouts are still there, at least.
Yep, yeah, they are.
Even though they haven't been. All right, JD, you got a first 500, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I think I know what it is, but...
Yeah, we'll Blake, see. Say it. You know what it is.
It could be one of two.
Well,
because
guess what?
I know McClanahan's your guy.
He is.
But it's tough to bet against that Yankees offense after this weekend. The other one would be Brewers Cardinals.
Yeah. You know me. I haven't been... I'm afraid of the Cardinals. I just think that they're one of those spooky teams with Therry Bees. I'm not playing that one as much because Corbin Burnes has been punching people out, but he hasn't been the Corbin Burnes of last year. No, I'm a huge McClanahan guy, and it's Garrett Cole too. So the number is unbelievably low. You can get smashed out in the first inning of this thing with McClanahan. There's no doubt about it. But the Rays are one of the worst teams in baseball at hitting right-handed pitching. They got an OPS of 627 the last month against right-handed pitching.
Yikes.
They're brutal. They cannot hit. So I've just cursed this into oblivion, and they're going to score a million runs tonight. But yeah, I just think that both of these pitchers are nasty. And as much as Garrett Cole can have like bad Garrett Cole games where teams can touch him up and you get a little afraid, I'm playing the under in this one, in the under in the first five, that is, because I trust McClanahan. I think he's disgusting. He's got 105 punchouts this year. He's just filthy. He's one of the only guys that you can put into the conversation with like Alek Manoah, right, in terms of who's going to win the Cy Young this year. And then I just think Garrett Cole's going to be able to navigate this Rays lineup where there's just not a lot there right now. So yeah, give me these guys. I like him on the first three, and I like him on the first five.
Which one is your pick? First three or first five?
I closed the tab because I went back to hockey on the site, but I will go with the one that I think is smarter. You start talking, I'll tell you in a second. Tell me your best bet, and I'll get the list.
I'm going
to try to navigate the site on live radio.
I'm going with the first five as well, but not an under. I'm just going Pirates on the first five against the Cubs. The Pirates are not a – not a particularly good team.
This is quite the bet, I got to tell you. All right, I didn't know we were in for JT Brubaker tonight.
Yeah,
all right.
So this is a bit of a bet on JT Brubaker. Over a strikeout an inning, he's been pretty hard luck 0-7 so far this year. I want good things for him. I know, but over a strikeout an inning, all the component ERA stuff says he's been a little unlucky, but – the other thing is the guy on the other side of him is Caleb Killian.
Who is that?
Which is what?
Never heard of that guy.
Yeah. So ERA of 8 over his first two major league starts for the
Cubs.
Isn't
he kind of their young prospect guy, though? I feel like
he's seventh in their organization on the prospect rate, but he's also already 25, and this was his first year at AAA. He's a little behind developmentally. He's been a little home run prone in the higher levels of the minors, has not missed bats at all over his first two starts here. But also the line in this one, you get even money, basically, and that includes a push for a tie. So the Pirates are only minus 113 on the five inning, and you get the push with a tie. So some value there. Look, sometimes you got to bet bad teams because that's where the value is.
Hey, buddy, no one's criticizing. Yeah. I'm just saying that I didn't expect that we were ever going to have the Pittsburgh Pirates in the Wake Rake this year.
Look,
if there were odds
my
for
favorite
teams,
thing I've heard all day is he's a hard luck 0-7.
He's a hard luck 0-7, man.
Buddy, you should be his agent. Brubaker is going to be calling him. Brubaker's agent's going to resign today because Blake Murphy beat him to he's a hard luck 0-7. Dude, that's the most analytics thing that you can say is I love that where it's like guys are getting beat down in a season and the analytics dudes go, yeah, but he's getting BABIPed. And it's like, what? His ERA is 6. How much did he get BABIPed? I'm going first five under because that's where I think the value is a little bit better. It's 1.5 for the first three. That's too low because that's one, you know, you walk the first batter and Aaron Judge comes up or Aaron Judge gets on and Stanton gets the dish. So I'll go the under 3.5 for the first five innings. I'll stretch this out a little bit. I think that this isn't going to be a scenario where either pitcher, I'm betting it based on both guys having a lot of success. So I'll stretch that out a little bit over five innings, 3.5.
All right. So your Wake and Rake for today, June 20th. Jose Berríos over 5.5 strikeouts. Sam likes the track record against the White Sox. The White Sox struggles against right-handed pitching despite the track record of Moncada and Abreu against Berríos. JD's got Tampa Bay and the Yankees under 3.5 five inning line. His guy, Shane McClanahan, up against Gerrit Cole. Even having just seen the Yankees offense, the bet on McClanahan here, a Cy Young candidate from the left side. And I'm going Pirates over the Cubs on the five inning line, minus 0.0. So you get the push for a tie there. Hard luck 0-7, JT Brubaker. It's due some good fortune. That's your Wake and Rake.
I love it.
That's your Wake and Rake for June 20th, presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
God, that's funny. That was one of my favorite ones that we remember. Yeah. By the way, I'm shaking a little bit remembering that the Yankees saw a lefty yesterday, and now they're seeing another lefty. I'm like, oh, whoops, I forgot about that. Okay, no matter what, who cares? We'll put that out there. All right, that was a great Wake and Rake, fellas. For JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, and Sam McKee, we'll see you tomorrow. Good luck.